Brother Isaac called me or sent me a text yesterday asking if I would put together a lesson for tonight, and so thought about it and prayed about it, and God put together the lesson, and I'm going to try to deliver it. This I titled, The Man Who Walked with God. Amen. You think about that now for a minute. The Man Who Walked with God. Well, that's something, isn't it, for this. You know, we need to walk with God. Everybody needs to walk with God. Amen. But the Bible speaks of one man that walked with God on this earth. And you know what? He's still walking with God today. Amen. And that's been thousands of years ago when he walked upon this earth. I'm going to take my text from Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. And, you know, we should strive to improve our walk with God. None of us is where we need to be with God. I think we all can agree to that, can't we? I know I'm not. But it gives us something to work toward each and every day as children of God. As I look out over the group this evening, I see a lot of children of God here. I hope everybody's a child of God. And if you are, then hopefully God will help us understand how we can walk closer to Him and or walk with Him. You know, the Philippian saints, Paul told us in Philippians 1 that the Philippian saints were admonished to abound more and more in their love. And also Peter told the believers there, he taught that continual growth in grace should follow salvation by grace. Amen. Obviously, salvation by grace is first and foremost. If you're not saved, nothing else matters. Amen. You see, and all that's the first step of anything with God. That's the first step of eternity in a place where you'd really like to go. Amen. And without that, if a person dies in their sins, dies lost, they're going to go to a place where they really don't want to go. Amen. They may say so now, but folks, hell is pretty hot. Amen. We think it's hot, the temperature's hot around here. Person leaves this old world lost, he's really going to find out what hot is. Amen. And that's not what we want. That's not what God wants. That shouldn't be what any believer wants from anybody else. Amen. You see, we should never wish somebody to stay lost. Amen. If we think about the first two commandments God give the first two great commandments. The first one, obviously, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And Jesus said in the second, like unto the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And also, being in God's love, we should share God's love. So no matter, and we look at our spiritual maturity, and I know that in this church we have quite a few people that has grown over the years. It shows on you, and it's a blessing to see the spiritual maturity of a lot of people here, regardless of age. It's certainly a blessing to fellowship with a church that is growing in grace and growing in spiritual maturity. But no matter what level our spiritual maturity is, each child of God needs a closer walk with God. Amen. We never going to get to the place where we stop growing. You know, in the flesh, yeah, we get to a place where we stop growing, thank goodness. But spiritually, we never stop growing. Amen. If we do stop growing spiritually, there's something wrong. Yeah. You take a little child starts to grow, and boy, they grow up so fast, don't they? But if a little child grows up, And I've seen them, you know, a little old child about this tall. Well, if that child's 2 years old, we don't think anything about it. But if that child's 10 or 12 years old, there's something wrong. You know, there's a few of them out there that's short like that, but not very many. And we do look at it as something wrong because a child's not supposed to stop growing when they're that tall. You see. And that's the same way with our spiritual growth. If we've been a Christian, and I know we got a lot of Christians in here that has got more than 20 years serving the Lord, and maybe more than 30, 40, 50. A lot of faithful people here, and your spiritual growth, your Christian maturity shows. But if we've been a Christian for very long, and we don't know any more than we did when we was first saved, there's something wrong with our Christian maturity. Now, the man we're going to talk about this evening is Enoch. That's the man that walked with God. And what I want us to do is we're going to study a little bit about this man's life. He's the man who walked with God according to the Bible. And what I pray for is that we may learn profitable lessons from this man, obtain spiritual strength, and gain guidance to our own Christian journey. And we indeed are on a Christian journey in this life. And so if you would you please stand with me and go to Genesis chapter 5, and I'm going to start reading in verse 21. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. And he says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Heavenly Father, we come to you again today, thanking you for your many blessings upon each one. Father, thank you for the church here, for each member here that makes this church up. And Father, we ask your blessings on them. Be with those that can't be with us tonight because of sickness or whatever the reason may be. Father, we ask your blessings on them. Be with Brother Isaac give him traveling grace, Father, to go and come and be back safely home this week, Father. We thank you for all you've given us, for your word here, Father. We ask your blessings on it, that we pray for understanding and knowledge that only you can give us. Father, we pray that each one of us would open our hearts and minds and be receptive unto your truths, and that we'd apply those truths to our daily walk. Father, I pray you'd help us to grow spiritually, mature as Christians, and so we can better serve you and not be afraid or ashamed to ever present your gospel to the lost, to those who need more learning, more teaching. Father, we pray that if we be the ones you've called upon, that we'll do it with enthusiasm and vigor and love your word and share it with joy that man just can't understand. Father, we thank you, we love you, ask you to continue to guide us and be with us through the remainder of the service, that your will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Enoch was not quite middle age. He was only 365 years old when he died. Not quite middle age back then. And when you think about it, his dad, Jared, there in the verses before there, he lived to be 962 years. Methuselah, his son, lived to be 969 years. So you see, and if you look at the ones before there, a lot of them lived up over 900 years. So you see, Enoch wasn't quite middle-aged. And he was probably what we would consider somebody in their late 20s, early 30s by our years. But Enoch's life, I mean, when we think about his dad and his son, what do we know about them? Well, this may be interesting. Jared, his dad, lived to be 962 years. At the time of Jared's death, that was the longest anybody lived that's recorded. Now, that record was broke by his grandson, Methuselah, who outlived him by 7 years. But outside of living a long life, what does the Bible say about them? That Jared fathered Enoch. And then he lived 800 years, over 800 years, and had more sons and daughters. Methuselah beget Lamech. Did you know Methuselah was the grandson of Noah? I mean, the grandfather of Noah, excuse me. Methuselah was the grandfather of Noah. So he lived and he begat Lamech, and then he lived a long time fathering children also. And outside of that, we know absolutely nothing about these two men except they lived a long time. Now, you may have known some people that's lived a long time and really don't have anything to show for it. Enoch lived 365 years. He died in the prime of his life. Well, he didn't die, did he? He walked with God. But in the prime of his life, God took him. But you know what? We have more about Enoch than we did any of those guys that lived over 900 years because of the life, the quality of life that he lived. And that's what, you know, I'm not sure I would want to live a long life without any quality at all. If my life as a child of God, especially now that I know I'm a child of God, if my life is not quality in the eyes of God, it's pretty much useless. Amen. You see, and there's not much to tell outside of what did I do with the Lord. There's not much left to tell. You know, so a few things I want us to look at with Enoch. The shortness of Enoch's life. I told you he was probably a little younger than middle age compared to the other men at that time. But and we don't know much about the others except they lived a very long time. And evidently it wasn't appealing enough for God to have any of their parts of their life printed in the Word of God. You know, life is, I've known some people that did more in 10 years of their life for God than other people who lived a long lifetime. And the Bible teaches us that we will live longer by obeying the Word of God. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to live a long life. It just says our days will be longer. Longer than what? Longer than it would have been if we didn't live that life. And all. It's not how long. Again, it's quality. Amen. What are you doing with God in your life? You know, that's a question each of us have to answer for ourselves. Where is God at in our lives? Life is always more meaningful when we live for God and when we live for others. Y'all probably heard, you know, JOY, J-O-Y is an acronym. Do you know that? An acronym means each letter stands for a word. And JOY is Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. Amen. That's where real joy is at. Is when we put it together like that. When we start getting selfish with ourselves and not wanting to share the gospel, not wanting to teach our young, not wanting to serve the Lord in His church, then we're putting ourselves first and putting Jesus last. And others, I guess, somewhere in between. But when we start with Jesus and finish with ourselves, everything just kind of falls in place then. It does. Now, we're not talking about an easy life, and we'll look at Enoch here in just a few minutes, some of his life. But we're talking about a life that's meaningful. Meaningful don't always mean easy. We've got people that has graduated from college and graduated from high school and going on and furthering their education. Now, that's a meaningful life to get an education so that in the flesh, our life can mean something that we can make a living for our families and as we start families and things, and that's a meaningful way to do. But an education is not easy. Amen. But it is meaningful. Amen. And that's the same way with our service with God. Living in this old fleshly body, it's not easy. Amen. But it's meaningful. Not only to us, but to everybody around us. The second thing is the quality of Enoch's life. And in one statement, we find the quality of Enoch's life. And it's simply, an Enoch walked with God. Amen. What a profound statement for anybody to walk with God. So what kind of man? If Enoch walked with God, does that tell us what kind of man Enoch was? It does. Was he truthful? Well, if you in Proverbs 6, it says there's six things that the Lord hate. Yea, seven is an abomination unto him. A proud look and a lying tongue is the first two. And so we have to say, if he walked with God, then he was a truthful man. So did he have compassion? Well, if he walked with God, he did. And so we see the things, the kind of things that Enoch was, without really knowing a whole lot about his character. We still know a whole lot about his character. And because of the fact he walked with God, he was kind. He wanted people to know who God was. He wanted his children to know who God was. He wanted his neighbors to know who God is. And he showed it by walking with God. He didn't show it by living like the world. And again, we'll look at the world here in just a minute. And we're during Enoch's time, so we could say then that Enoch was truthful. He was kind. He was compassionate. He was sober-minded, and I would have to say his life was characterized by love for God and for man. Because remember, the two great commandments that God gave us, and if we walk with God, those two commandments are going to be first and foremost, because Jesus said on these hang all the other commandments. In other words, if we can't keep them two, we're not going to keep any of them. Amen. And we're going to find out that we can't walk with God that way. Amen. You know, but the greatest tribute could be paid to any man was paid to Enoch when they said that he walked with God. Amen. And then the third thing was the beginning of Enoch's walk with God. Now, there was a beginning for Enoch. Because man by nature wants to sin and wants to hide from God. When we sin, we want to hide. You remember Adam and Eve when they sinned in the garden? And when God started walking through the garden, what happened to Adam and Eve? They run and hid. They didn't want to stand before Almighty God. They hid from Him because of the sin in their life. And you know, too many times in our lives today, when things go wrong, the first thing we do is run from the very one that can help us. Amen. Yeah. How many times have people gotten away from the Lord through prayer, through not fellowshipping with God's people, not attending church? There's so many ways we get away from God, and it hurts. It doesn't help. Amen. You see. And so... Adam and Eve, they sinned, they hid from God. In Revelation, it tells us that they wouldn't believe on God, and they ran to the hills and called for the hills and the rocks to fall on them to hide them from the face of God. They didn't want to stand before God. Friends, I'm a sinner saved by grace of God, but I want to stand before the living God. I want to stand there. I want to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. And all that. But I know in order to do that, I've got to I've got to walk with God in this lifetime, because when I stand before God, He's my judge of the things that I, as a child of God, have done in this body. And you, as a child of God, will stand before Almighty God. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And we will be judged by the deeds that we've done in this body. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it'll tell you, it'll lay it out for you. If your works are going to be tried by fire. If they stand the test of fire, you'll receive a reward. But if they won't stand the test of fire and they're burned up, it said, yet yourself, you'll lose the reward, yet yourself shall be saved. So we're going to stand before God, and I don't think there's a child of God here today that don't want God to exalt him. And because when God lifts us up, nobody's going to take us down. Amen. You see, and also, but Enoch, Enoch had the Adamic nature. He was born, obviously, and as a matter of fact, Enoch was the seventh from Adam. And you find that in the book of Jude, I think the 14th verse. And Enoch was the seventh from Adam. So he had the Adamic nature. He had a sin nature. He sinned. He did not live. It was a time when Enoch did not walk with God. As a matter of fact, look at our text verses here again. Again, it says, Enoch, in verse 21, lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. But notice what it says then. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. So his walk with God didn't start till after his first son was born. But it says then that he walked with God for 300 years. How many of y'all want to walk with God for 300 years here on this earth? Can you imagine what these old bodies will look like after 300 years? When I look at this old body of mine after just 68 years, I don't want to be here in 300 years. But back then, that was a common thing, at least until the flood. But he walked with God for 300 years. What a blessing. And it doesn't say he wavered. It doesn't say he got away from God. It said he walked with God for 300 years. That makes our 60, 70, 80 years, or if God permit even 100 years on this earth, seem so small amount of time to walk with God. So we should be willing to, for the short period of time, because it does have tremendous rewards walking with God in this life. Our Adamic nature does not lead us to walk with God. Because Adam, our Adamic nature, brought sin upon us. We were born in sin. You know, David said, in iniquity did my mother conceive me. We were born in sin. That's the carnal nature that we have. There was a time, and again, that when Enoch didn't walk with God. But we, in order to walk with God, there's some things we got to have in common. If you walk with any person, you know, Amos, the prophet Amos said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You see, if you and I walk down the road together and we go to talking politics and we have difference of opinions, we liable to be in a fight before we get where we're going. Because politics is a good thing to fight about, isn't it? And people's always said, never argue politics or religion because you'll never win. Well, I hope on religion that I win, because I'm going to talk to people that needs to hear the truth. I hope I can win some of those or all of them. But politics, I don't care if I win or not. I mean, it's unless we agreed, if I walked to somebody along the road with somebody that we both agreed on everything, we're going to have a pretty good joyful fellowship walking together. You know. Amen. But if we disagree somewhere along the white line, it depends on how heavy that disagreement becomes on what the options are that lays out in front of us then. And all. But it's the same way with God. We can't walk with God if we don't have things in common with God. Amen. Now, so what's the first thing? The first thing that we must do is come to God in repentance. That's the first thing. And those of you saved know exactly what I'm saying. But you've got to know Jesus as your Savior, or you cannot walk with God. Because God demands that you come to Him through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. Amen. And in Acts it says, there is no other name given under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In Acts 4:12, and all. That is the name. That's where it starts at. And then if we want to continue our walk with God. Now, I'm saying this out of love for you. I don't know your hearts. I don't know any circumstances of anybody here. I just see a lot of saved people. And I hope I don't see any lost people. If I do, though, remember, you need Jesus. That's the starting place. Without Him, you're not even starting. You're not serving God. You're not doing anything God wants. That's just the facts. And I'm saying that because I love you and I care about you. If you're lost, you need to know who Jesus is. Now, if you're saved and you've never been part of one of the Lord's churches, you need to be, because that's the next step. Those that gladly received the word was baptized, and they were added to the church, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Amen. You see, that's where it leads. You want to walk with God? That's the steps that we take. Amen. If we don't take those steps, we're cutting short our walk. We take the step of salvation and we stop. Well, that's good enough. No, it's not. It's not good enough, because we want to walk with God. Enoch walked with Him for 300 years, and you're saying one step with Him is enough? Friends, if you're saved but you haven't followed Jesus in the watery grave of baptism and become a member of one of His local churches, you need to do so, because that's the continuation of the walk with Jesus. And as a saved person, we're striving to walk with Jesus. So we've got to do that. When we come to Him in repentance and faith, we receive the new birth. And then we get a new nature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. When we get new things, we're doing a new walk. We're not walking the paths we walked when we was lost. That's why baptism's important. You know, lost people don't get baptized. Lost people don't have their name written in the book of life. Lost people are just that. They're wandering around lost. They don't have a clue where they're going. But one day, the lost that refuses Jesus, they're going to wake up and they're going to see exactly where they're at. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? When that rich man woke up, he knew where he was at. He was in torments. And he was crying out to Father Abraham. He was looking for comfort. And they were no comfort. And friends, I tell you that again. I hope you're saved. But if you're lost, that's what lies ahead. If you stay lost and you leave this old world in your lost state. There's hope today. Now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Not next week, next month, next year. Young people think they have all the time in the world. But I'll say this, and I say it because, again, we need to realize the facts. You go to a cemetery and look at the birthdays on when these people were born, from little bitty babies to over 100 years old, and every age in between. Every age in between. Now, so once we have this new birth, then we're on our way to walking with God. Through the new birth, God's love is shed abroad in our hearts. We need to follow that. You know, we need to follow our spiritual heart once we belong to the Lord. And that love causes us to enjoy walking with God. God loves us. I mean, He loves us so much He sent His Son to die on Calvary's cross. He loves everybody. He loved us when we wasn't very lovable. He loved us when people were trying to kill Him. He loved them. He talked to the people that hated Him, that was trying to get Him out of the way, and He tried to talk salvation sense into them, and they just wouldn't listen. So the beginning of Enoch's walk was when he was 65 years old. There's no age limit on when we start walking with God. The sooner, the better. We don't need to put it off, because too many times we put it off, we never make it. But we're here today, and that's why today is the accepted time. Now, the fourth thing I want us to look at is the circumstances of Enoch's walk. The circumstances of Enoch's walk with God. You know, first of all, it wasn't easy for Enoch to walk with God. He lived in a very sinful world. Remember, Enoch was the great-grandfather of Noah. Now, when Noah come on the scene, remember what God said about the world then? He said man's heart was evil continually. That sin was rampant. That the children of God were now marrying into the, or the men of God to the women of the world, or, and all. And I had people to tell me, said, yeah, the children of God was those that come down through Seth. And I can understand that. I can believe that. But the others was the ones that come down through Cain. And Cain, now remember this about Cain, and I may be getting ahead of myself, I'm getting about where I need to be. Cain, we know Cain killed his brother Abel, and God passed a judgment upon him. He didn't kill Cain, because at that time there was no law, there was no punishment for murder, especially death. But He sent Cain out. And Cain, it said back up in chapter 4 of Genesis, in verse 16, it said, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He turned his back and walked away from God. And he went out and he started a group of people that did not walk with God in any form or any fashion. And then the children of God, they started marrying over time. And evil, in this old sinful world, we know how evil the world can get and how evil it's getting now, even as we live in it. Would you agree that the world is worse today than it was 50 years ago? You know, when I remember things when I was a kid, people would they would just think it was the most awful thing you ever done. And today, it's accepted way of life. In God's eyes, it's still wrong, it's still sin, and He will never be part of that. And we as His church can never be part of it, regardless of what the world says. Remember, this is Satan's world. Jesus said, I'm not of this world. This is Satan's world. We are strangers in this world. And the closer we walk with God, the more strange we become in this old world. And so But that's okay. Being strange in this world means that I'm at home with the Lord. You see, and that's where we want to be. And also, it's not easy to walk with God. He lived in a sinful world. And again, we see that that Cain walked away from God. God was not against Cain. Remember, Cain brought his sacrifices there, and God didn't accept it. Now, God didn't accept it because of the pride that was in Cain's life. And God said, if you brought it under the right, I'm paraphrasing, but brought it under the right circumstances, I'll accept it. But he got mad and went out and killed Abel. Now, that made a lot of sense, didn't it? Get mad at God, so he kills his brother. But God wanted to work with Cain. He wanted him to offer the right sacrifice with the right heart. That was the key. And it's the same today. We walk with God. We got to walk with God with the right heart. But Cain refused, so he turned his back and walked away from God. Now, Enoch was not he wasn't the results of some favorable circumstances. He was a man like everybody else. He lived like everybody else. He made choices like everybody else. It's just that his choice was to serve God. He could have chose not to walk with God. And then he might have lived to have been 900 years if he hadn't walked with God. He might have outlived his son Methuselah. But what kind of life would it have been? We'd have read he begat sons and daughters for 800 years and he died. That's what we know about all the others there in Genesis chapter 5. They born, they lived to a certain age, they had a child, and then they lived a bunch more years and had a bunch more kids and they died. And that's about what we know about them. Now, Enoch walked with God because he had faith in God. Now, I know you've probably read this one, but I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, because it talks about Enoch in that chapter too. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll start in verse 5 there. And let's see what the writer of Hebrews tells us about Enoch. And it gives us a little more in-depth of who he was. Enoch chapter 11, verse 5 says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death." Wouldn't it be great if you never had to face death at all? But you could still go be with the Lord. You would still get that glorified body. You'd still live forever in God's kingdom. Wouldn't that just be wonderful? That's what Enoch did. He was translated that he would not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You know, I read that every time I read it. I think, God, am I pleasing you? Well, I know compared to Enoch that I'm not. But that's not Enoch's fault. That's mine. That's not God's fault. That's mine. If we're not pleasing God, that's our fault. That's on us. You know, and I read about these men of faith, and he talks about this, verse 6 said, of Hebrews 11 there, says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him." Impossible. You see, remember a while ago I said the first step is being saved. If you don't place your faith in Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Savior, you cannot please God. If you cannot please God, you cannot walk with God. It's just that simple. If you are saved, then you can walk with God. We'll get into that here in just a minute. Now, he went on to say, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." hear what he's saying? He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You want what God's got to offer beyond salvation? He's saying, seek him. Seek him with your whole heart. Seek him with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul. That's the way we got to love God. And if we do that, he said he's a rewarder of them that will do that. Now, you see, God does not force us to walk with him. He doesn't do it. He pleads with us. He warns us. He calls us. But he will not coerce us into walking with him. He gives us the opportunity to choose. You know, Joshua, one of the most profound statements in the Old Testament is, choose you whom, this day whom you will serve. It's our choice. God has provided a way to make it our choice so that we have the opportunity to choose God to be his child and to walk with him every day. Not just in this life, but every day through eternity in that last great day that never ends. Remember, when we get there, there's no night there. Just one continuous day. Now, Enoch chose to walk with God. And listen to this. Enoch chose to walk with God. God did not walk with Enoch. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Enoch chose to walk with God. God did not walk with Enoch. Now, listen. Let me clear that up a little bit. God will not. You know, there's no need for us to ask God to walk with us because he won't do it. Where are we going? If God's walking with me, where am I going to take him in this old carnal body? Where am I going to take God? You see, but if I'm walking with God, Enoch walked with God. And now, and the reason he walked with God is because God, walking with God, will bring a glowing likeness to God. You know, and it will manifest itself. When we walk with God, we want God to walk in the pits of sin with us. But when we ask for God to walk with us, that's what we're asking because we're sinners. We got this old carnal body. You know, here's the thing. You know, again, there's two types of people in this world, saved sinners and lost sinners. And that's it. There is no other kind. But we're still sinners. But we have an advocate with the Father. And if when we do sin, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, that's in 1 John chapter 1. Now, let me ask you this. If you're cleansed from all unrighteousness, what does that leave? Leaves us in pretty good shape with the Lord, doesn't it? We're living in where we are righteous. You realize that? When we're cleansed from unrighteousness, we are righteous in the eyes of God, not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is. He is our righteousness. And he is at the right hand of God, making intercessions for us. Now, you remember Peter and John, they was brought before the Jewish leaders, and they looked at them as unlearned and ignorant men. They said, these guys don't have any sense. But the one thing, after they said all of that, you know what they also said? They took notice, or they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They might have been ignorant old fishermen. They might know how to catch a fish, but not know anything else. But they knew Jesus, and everybody that seen them seen that they knew Jesus. It was obvious they had been with Jesus. You know, And you know what? That's quite a testimony to have. You know, when other people that don't even believe in Jesus took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. They seen something. And all. But walking with God will bring a growing likeness to God. Walking with God will cause one to see the wickedness of the world. The closer we walk to God. You think God sees the wickedness going on in this world today? But when we walk with God according to His Word, we see the wickedness going on in this world too. When we're allowing ourselves to look through the eyes of God, walking with Him and Him showing us the way, we're going to see the same things God sees. And let me tell you, it's pretty sickening out there and getting worse. We know that God hates sin. And one of the marks of a godly life is hatred for sin. We don't hate the sinner, but we have to hate the sin. Yeah. We want the sinner to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ just like we did. Because once they come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and they're saved, they're just like we are. They're heaven bound. They're headed to God's kingdom. They're going to live with God for all eternity. Now, so we see then the results of walking with God will bring us to a whole new aspect of life. We see it a whole different way. You know, like Enoch of old, he lived in a time when the world was in sin and getting worse. It got so bad that just a couple of generations later, God destroyed it by flood. Now, that's pretty bad. But so we live in a lawless, rebellious, violent world today. But you know what? We can still walk with God. Not only can we, but we should. Walking daily with God will bring many blessed moments. It brings some heartaches, but it always brings a blessing. Even in heartaches, we can have blessings when we're walking with God. You know, Jesus walked on this earth. They cursed Him, spit on Him, pulled His beard out, His hair out, and nailed Him to the cross. And yet, in Hebrews it says, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. Even in all of that, He had joy. You know what His joy was? Right here. Right here. This is His joy. This is the joy that He seen when they nailed Him to that cross. It wasn't a joy of pain. It was a joy of sacrifice, knowing that His sacrifice would cause you to be in His kingdom one day. Not only you, but all those of that day and ever since. Now, walking daily again brings blessed moments. My last place to go in Scripture is Psalms 1. I want to read a couple of verses there, and we'll close this out. Psalms 1, starting with verse 1, and it tells us that we can be blessed. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Does that sound like someplace you'd like to be? You can be there. We are there. We just gotta pull together. We gotta pull together with God and walk with God. Don't expect God to walk with you. Walk with Him. He knows the way. He is the way. And it's the best way. As our musicians come around, prepare for a song of invitation. You know, as we walk with the one we love, we experience sweet fellowship. We experience peace that passes understanding. We experience fruitful service. And in the end, we shall unashamedly meet our Savior with fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Friends, that's where I know that's where I'm going, because I believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I know many of you, by your own profession of faith, are going to be going there too one day. We're all going to join Him one way or another. As somebody has told me, either here, there, or in the air. But we're going to be together for all eternity. If you know Jesus as your Savior. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I beg you to come to knowledge of Him tonight. I'll be glad to show you in the Word of God just how Jesus can be your Savior. If you're saved and you've not went any further than that, why not try to start walking with the Lord again and follow Him in baptism, in church membership, in fellowship with His brothers and sisters, become part of the holiness of God. He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Let's be the holiness that God wants us to be. While we stand, what number?
Stand, page 531.
Number 531.